Chapter 15. Night had come to Durringham. It brought with it a thick grey mist, which flowed down the slushy streets and over the mouldering roof slats, depositing an unctuous coating of droplets in its wake. The water filmed every exterior wall until the whole city was glistening darkly, droplets running together and dribbling off the eaves and overhangs. Doors and shutters were no protection. The mist penetrated buildings with ease, soaking into fabrics and condensing over furniture. It was worse than the rain. The governor's office was faring little better than the rest of the city. Colin Rexrue had turned up the conditioning until it made an aggravated rattling sound, but the atmosphere inside remained obstinately muggy. He was reviewing satellite images with Terence Smith and Candace Elford, Lalonde's chief sheriff. The three big wall screens opposite the curving window were displaying pictures of a riverside settlement village. They showed the usual collection of shambolic huts and small fields, large piles of felled trunks and stumps which played host to ears of orange fungi. Chickens scratched around in the dirt between the huts, while dogs roamed free. The few people captured by the camera were dressed in dirty, ragged clothes. One child, about 2 years old, was completely naked. "These are very poor images," Colin Rexrue complained. "Most of the edges were blurred. Even the colours appeared wan." "Yes," Candace Elford agreed. "We ran a diagnostic check on the observation satellite, but there was no malfunction. The images from any other area it views are flawless. The satellite only has trouble when it's passing over the Quarheim." "Oh, come on," Terence Smith said. "You can't mean that the people in the Quarheim counties can distort our observation, surely?" Candace Elford considered her answer. She was 57, and Lalonde was her second appointment as chief sheriff. Both senior appointments had been won because of her thoroughness. She had worked her way up to various colony planet police services and harboured a kind of bewildered contempt for colonists who, she had discovered, were capable of damn near anything out in the frontier lands. "It's unlikely," she admitted. "The Confederation Navy Eland satellites haven't detected any unusual emissions from Schuster County. It's probably a glitch. That satellite is 15 years old, and it hasn't been serviced for the last 11 years. "All right," Colin Rexrue said. "Point noted. We don't have the money for regular services, as you well know. When it breaks down, a replacement will cost the LDC a lot more than the expense of proper triennial maintenance," Candace Elford countered. "Please, can we stick with the topic in hand?" Colin Rexrue said. He eyed the drinks cabinet longingly. It would have been nice to break open one of the chilled white wines and have a more relaxed session, but Candace Elford would have refused, which would have made it awkward. She was such an uncompromising officer. One of his best, though. Someone the sheriffs respected and obeyed. He needed her. So he put up with her rigid adherence to protocol, counting his blessings. "Very well," she said crisply. "As you can see, Abilade has 12 burnt-out buildings. According to the sheriff in Schuster Town, Matthew Skinner, there was some kind of IVET disturbance 4 days ago, which is when the buildings were razed. The IVETs allegedly murdered a 10-year-old boy, and the villagers sent about hunting them down. Supervisor Manani's communication block wasn't working, so an Aberdale villager visited Schuster the day after this murder, and Matthew Skinner reported it to my office. That was 3 days ago. He said he was riding to Aberdale to investigate. Apparently most of the Ivets had been killed by that time. We heard nothing until this morning, when Matthew Skinner said the disturbance was over, and the Aberdale Ivets were all dead." "I disapprove of vigilante action," Colin Rexrue said. "Officially, that is. But given the circumstances, I can't say I blame the Aberdale villagers. Those Ivets have always been a mixed blessing. Half of them should never be sent here. 10 years' work time isn't going to rehabilitate the real recidivists." "Yes, sir," Candace Elford said. "But that's not the problem." Colin Rexrue brushed back tufts of his thinning hair with clammy hands. "I didn't think it would be that simple. Go on." She datavised an order into the office's computer. The screen started to display another village. It looked even more impecunious than Aberdale.